Welcome to another episode of the Life Group Leader Podcast. Here at Compass Bible Church, we exist to make disciples of Jesus Christ by reaching people for Christ, teaching people to be like Christ, and training people to serve Christ. And everything that we do here at Compass, including this podcast, is to fulfill that mission. Welcome back, Life Group Leaders and Apprentice Leaders. We have begun a brand new series as we are about to, this coming up Sunday, jump into, I guess we have a little bit this far, jumping into chapter 10. And as we switch, at least literarily, in the form of the Gospel of Matthew into the evangelistic aspect of the Gospel of Matthew, we're jumping into, if you remember, our narrative discourse overview at the very beginning of the Gospel of Matthew. We're now entering a new section talking about the evangelism and the sending out of the 12 into the harvest. And this sermon series is entitled Marching Orders, and this sermon entitled Laboring for the Harvest. And here's the preaching point. Jesus' compassionate appeal to his disciples should motivate you to pray fervently for more evangelistic laborers while being an answer to that prayer yourself. And the text that we looked at was Matthew 9, 35 through chapter 10, verse 5a, and I'll read that for you here. And Jesus went throughout all of the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out. I was excited to begin this brand new series. This first sermon really impresses the evangelistic nature of this sermon series and Christ's call to his followers to go and proclaim his message. The points from this sermon were point number one: we need to increase our compassion for lost souls. When you look at verses 35 and 36, it shows you just how deeply Jesus cared for those sheep that had gone astray, those people who were lost, and how he came to earth incarnate, proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom, healing the diseases and afflictions of the people, having compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless and in need of a shepherd. And as a life group leader and as us, as a apprentice leader, as you guys are thinking about your own compassion that you have towards the people in your life group and their concerns and their needs and their families who have lost people and the friends that they have, just really spending time this week equipping them to have compassion, to increase their compassion for lost souls. We live in a very skeptical society, and we live in a society that lacks compassion in part because of the skepticism that people don't want to be taken advantage of. In a lot of ways, people are fearful of all of the wolves that are out there in the world, and showing compassion is really a lost part of the biblical Christianity. And what's interesting about that is, you know, at least in my experience, when I hear about compassion, I often begin thinking about the way that the more liberal Christians think about compassion, which is like all of these social gospel endeavors. And when I think about on the other side, you know, I see when we think about compassion, in particular, as I've been reading in articles and listening to some more popularizing theological ideas of basically warring against culture, which there is a good way. I think we can war against the culture as long as we recognize that what we're fighting is ideas and lofty thoughts and opinion raised against the knowledge of God, not actually warring and battling the people. In the sense that, yes, thoughts do come from people, but at the end of the day, what we're here to do is to win souls and make disciples. And so what we've got to do, even on this other side of like, we want to be biblically grounded. Well, to be biblically grounded is to look at your enemies and to love them. And that means that we do share with them the truth, but we don't share them compassionless truth. We share them compassionate truth. And that is what the scripture says. You need to share them the truth in love. And how do we love if we don't have compassion? And so I think that as you even jump into your life groups, there are some of your life groups that may deal with this concept pretty easily. And there may be other people in your life group who struggle with the idea of loving these people that they have learned in their culture are against them and they are against each other. And it's trying to help our people understand, well, how does Jesus deal with this? Well, scripture says that we were all enemies of God. And yet Christ came to deal with us with compassion and he won us to himself. And so for us to increase our own compassion is to reflect the character of Christ and to say, you know, there are these people out there who believe we're sworn enemies. And in a way they're right. But yet our compassion for them does not waver, and our desire to see them saved does not waver. And that actually includes real, tangible, practical evidence in our lives and action steps in our lives to reach people for Christ. Point number two, we need to pray for more evangelistic laborers. Verses 37 and 38 tell us, Jesus said to his disciples, "This harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." As we talked about in depth, the concept and idea of just praying before we're out there trying to talk to these people, I loved that quote from E.M. Bounds that says, "Talking to men for God is a great thing. But talking to God for men is greater still. He will never talk well and with real success to men for God who has not learned well how to talk to God for men." I find this to be just a wonderfully encouraging quote to ask myself, am I praying for people? Question number four in your application questions, it asks you to read Luke 10:2 and to answer this question. How often do you intentionally pray for God to raise up more people to share the gospel with your unsaved family, friends, or the unsaved in your community? I mean, that real question is, do you even pray for people to be raised up to share the gospel with your unsaved, the folks in your family, in your sphere of influence? And then question 4A asks, what is your plan to increase the amount of time you've been praying evangelistically? Now, I bring this question up because it's really going to test your belief of evangelistic prayer in your group. You get a lot of questions, and as I tell you all the time, I do not intend that you go through all of these questions in your life group. Now, I trust that you're doing these individually, all of them, not just the ones you plan on going over in your life group. I trust that everyone in your life group is answering all of these questions in their own quiet time, devotional time, and study time. But I don't at all assume that you're going to spend in the time in your life group that you have to go over all of these questions. I don't even think that'll be helpful. But it is going to say a lot about what we think about prayer if we skip question number four, because it seems simple, because it's going to become a simple question and answer that is really short. Oh, I don't pray that much. Well, I need to pray more for sure. And then we get to that applicational question. And, you know, 4A that says, well, what is your plan to increase the amount of time you spend praying evangelistically? If we really believe what God's word says about evangelism, then we must answer this question with heart and with a genuine desire to do something to increase the amount of time we spend praying evangelistically. So I want to encourage you as life group leaders to make sure that you do question number four. And don't allow people to give you the cookie cutter answers. Really ask them, in your life, how do you plan to increase the amount of time you spend praying evangelistically? Like, what are you actually going to do? Are you going to add a section to your prayer list that is evangelistic prayers, having people that I'm praying for, having times on my calendar that I'm praying to be more evangelistic during these times of my week? Am I going to be going to the monthly prayer meeting more often? Am I going to be creating opportunities at work for people to come together and pray for people to share the gospel more? I mean, you should call your groups to be very practical in answering this question. I am not asking, are you going to increase the amount of time? I'm asking, what is your plan to increase the amount of time you spend praying evangelistically. And as you're asking your groups to apply these things, it's like you, most of you are parents. Almost all of you are parents who are life group leaders and apprentice leaders. And the question that you would ask your kids, hey, what's your plan this week to do whatever it is? And they would say, my plan's to do it. And you would say, well, that's not a plan. You want them to detail out, tease out that plan, help me understand your plan so I believe that you could be successful in implementing that plan. Well, think about the same thing with your life group. When they're telling you, yeah, we're going to do this. Well, how are you going to do this? What is your plan? How are you going to succeed in doing this particular, what we're talking about? How are you going to succeed in increasing the amount of time you spend praying evangelistically? Now, all of these questions have a very applicational push to them. They all have sub-questions attached to the main question, and they're all very practical. And I just want to encourage you guys to spend time putting into application, at least into writing and into plans of applying these texts. And as a matter of fact, even in your life group, you can start in your life group this week by praying more evangelistically in your life group. And you can say, what is your plan to increase the amount of time spending praying evangelistically? Well, our plan is we're going to start right now by praying more evangelistically in this life group. I mean, what a wonderful opportunity to already put into action what the sermon's teaching us to do. Question number three, or rather teaching point number three, says expect God to use you to answer evangelistic prayers. I don't want people in our church being Jonah part one, in the sense where, you know, Jonah is a prophet of God. He believes he's a mouthpiece of God, but he doesn't want to be used as a mouthpiece of God. But he definitely likes the idea of it, and he doesn't love the idea of being a mouthpiece of God to an enemy nation. And, you know, unfortunately, I'm seeing that to be a heart of many people in our church, that we love to be Christians. We love to align ourselves with Jesus until Jesus tells us that we need to love our enemies, pray for those who persecute us, and go make disciples of people. And we can only make disciples of people in the proper sense of taking somebody who is an enemy and making them a child of God. And that's the only way we're making disciples. Unless you are already taking somebody who's already been made a disciple, then that means any person you engage with is an enemy of God. And you can say, well, they're good, and to what standard would they be good? Any person who is not already a disciple is a sworn, bona fide, registered enemy of God. And so anyone you're going to engage with is going to be the enemy of God unless somebody has already made them a disciple through evangelistic conversation and God saving them through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when we talk about point number three, is expecting God to use you to answer evangelistic prayers. We're saying, man, are you ready to go out into the world and take people who are enemies of God and make them as a conduit of God's grace, children of God? And if we're praying for people, we should be expecting God to use us to answer the evangelistic prayers of the saints across the world. And I just don't want our church to look like the Jonahs that are, on one hand, we love to be God's mouthpiece, but on the other hand, we only want to do it the way we want to do it. And we definitely don't want to go into enemy territory to share the gospel with people. Right. And I that's not the right heart to have. It's, you know, let's not go into the public schools. Let's not go into the jails. Let's not go, you know, let's not go to my neighbor who just has, you know, like I always tell you I've said it multiple times in my life group and podcast, you know, I've got two Buddha statues, one on each side of my house in the neighbor's yard. So our neighbors are both at least implicitly saying, you know what, my devotion and allegiance isn't to Jesus, but I have these stone statues of figures of other religions in my yard. And, you know, the question is, you know, are we going to say, well, I can't go over there to those people? And the problem with that is the logic isn't there, because if that's the compassion that we think God has, then God would have never stepped into time and space through the incarnation of Christ to associate with sinners and to win sinners to himself. And so let us not think that God has our compassion, or I would say our lack of compassion, but rather let us seek to express and display the compassion that God actually displays toward sinners. All right, Life Group leaders, like I said, a lot of questions, so don't intend to go through all of them. Spend time in a few of them, at least, and just ensure that you're helping your life group apply these messages to their lives. I encourage you, there are some a few Q&A questions of the Compass Equip podcast. I would just encourage you guys to hop on over there and listen to the Q&A part of the Compass Equip podcast as you guys are preparing well for your life group this week. Hey guys, I just want to encourage you to do a number of things. There are some of these things you guys are doing really well. Number one, make sure you're taking attendance in a timely manner. You guys are mostly doing this well. There's a few times I see that we haven't taken attendance well. So just make sure you're taking attendance. And then I am asking different people that I come across, hey, how are you announcing everything in the life groups? Are you hearing these announcements in life groups? And there are sometimes I'm hearing that some people in your life groups aren't hearing the announcements. And so I want to make sure that when you get the weekly email, that you are making sure you're clicking on the announcements link. You're going to the MailChimp link, which will pop up on your screen automatically once you hit that link. And you're sharing with people all the announcements that we have there in bold on the front. And I don't write them out anymore because now we have them. I handpick these announcements. And I want to make sure that you're sharing all those announcements in your life group. I mean, this week you have, you'll get a new one. But this last week, what we hope you announced was church-wide serve team training, the internship program, the baptisms, the NEC, the summer kids camps. Those are the five things that we wanted to make sure that you announced in your life group. And if you missed any of those, we want to encourage you don't miss those because you guys are an important part of making sure that everyone knows what's going on our ministry calendar. So don't pick and choose what announcements you share. Make sure you share all of them. And then lastly, I just want to make sure that all of you guys make sure that you're listening every week to this podcast. I look at the numbers and it looks like most of you are listening to it. But I want to make sure that everyone is listening to it. You know, there's 44 life group leaders and apprentice leaders. And so when I look at the statistics on the podcast, I expect to see somewhere between 44 and 50 people because there are always people who find the podcast and listen to it. But generally speaking, it looks like there are weeks where I don't see all of you listening to these, which is such an important part of our discipleship process and our leadership pipeline that you are continually connected to me as your pastor and your life group, the leader over the life groups at our church, that we're continually connected to each other weekly and monthly as we meet and as we train and as you're able to listen to this podcast. So be sure that you're listening in, and I'll remind everyone that as well on the announcements this week. All right, church. I told you the announcements that I want to make sure that you guys share this week. We got an intern program. We're going to hire some summer interns, and we want to encourage you to tell people in your life group. They have young adults or college students or even young professionals, whoever would want to apply for this. We have two summer internships and one year-long intern opening, and so we would love to have some really great quality people who love the Lord and want to grow in their ministry training or even just their professional development that would love to apply for this job, the summer internship. We have our baptisms coming up on May the 26th during both services. We're encouraged and excited about this. We already have 9 people registered. We still have spots for a couple of more. So if you know anybody who needs to get baptized as life group leaders and apprentice leaders, encourage people in your life group who need to step up and be baptized to follow through in obedience. What an encouragement that is to your life group to see people actually walking faithfully after the Lord in believers' baptism. We have our NEC conference coming up, What is the Gospel, June 14th through the 16th. I want to encourage you to share in your life groups, share some of the breakout sessions. If you go to Equipped, National Equipped Conference or EquippedConference.com, you can look at the different breakout sessions there, and you'll see that what we're doing here is a lot of those practical questions you have about sharing the gospel with people and the objections and the questions that people have about the gospel. We're going to make sure that we cover a lot of those categories in the Equip Conference breakout sessions. So With that being said, I want to make sure that we have as many people at our church registered for this as possible. The great thing is every other group of people who are coming to this conference outside of our church, they have to buy plane tickets, they have to get rental cars, they have to find a place to stay, and all we have to do is register for the conference and roll in. And so I just want you to take advantage of that great privilege we have of hosting this conference. Last announcements, we have our summer kids camps coming up. Our VBS is on June 11th through the 13th, and then we have an art camp July 9th through 11th, and then a science camp August the 13th through the 15th. Now, I want to encourage slash warn, I don't know how, our registrations are up. I mean, we have a lot of kids registered for this, but what I've seen and what I've heard is a lot of our kids aren't registered for this. And so there's a lot of people in the community that we've done some outreach for these camps, and they've registered, but yet our own families haven't registered. And in part, I truly think that's because our families are going to register, but they're doing it last minute. But the concern and the problem is, I mean, we're running out of space, and our people, as we've been announcing this for the last month, haven't really been signing up. And so I just want you to encourage the people in your life group, sign up your kids, don't wait the last minute. Our church, we have a principle. I don't love putting deadlines out there. I don't like trying to, you know, give people an emotional, you know, pull of like, you better sign up by this date. We just want you to sign up because we want you to be there. And if we have to start putting deadlines out there, I guess we can. I just don't like telling people, no, you can't involve your children in our camp. So with that being said, just encourage your life group. Hey, make sure if you have kiddos, sign up for our VBS and our camps coming up. Because right now, I think there's like over 70 kids signed up for our each camp so far. And yet, like I said, most of them aren't even our kids yet at our church. So make sure that you spend time inviting and encouraging your life groups to make sure they're registering their kids for our camps. All right, life group leaders, apprentice leaders, I'm grateful for you. I know your job is week in and week out, and there's a lot to it, a lot of discipleship, a lot of challenge in your faith and in your knowledge of the Word of God, and I pray that it actually spurs you on to keep growing in your faith and growing in your knowledge of God's Word and your trust in His goodness. I'll see you next week.